Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. So first things first, an update on a story I reported on last week regarding the NCAA swimming rules. And this is a quote. The subcommittee decided implementing additional changes at this time could have unfair and potentially detrimental impacts on schools and student athletes intending to compete in 2022 NCAA Women's Swimming Championships, the NCAA said in a statement. And according to the Bleacher Report, the NCAA said transgender athletes will only have to comply with rules set forth under a 2010 policy that requires male-to-female transgender athletes have less than 10 nanomoles per liter of testosterone in their blood. So, which means, you guessed it, University of Pennsylvania swimmer Leah Thomas, who competed for the men's team for 3 years without success before identifying as a woman, can compete in the women's national championship this coming March. So yeah. A big part of what we talked about last week was this NCAA, this ruling, and why I think, of course, this really doesn't, it doesn't go far enough. But I don't want to get into all of that. If you missed last week, you need to go back and listen to that. But they've already decided that for right now. And I don't know when. If they're saying, is it going to be next season that they say we're going to start implementing the new rules? I don't know. But it's not going to be this year, and I'm sorry for all of the women who have worked so hard to get where they're at and to get to these championships, because they're going to lose. All right, so on to the news of this week. According to a report filed this week by Special Counsel John Durham, I know, we have to talk about it at least a little bit. Lawyers for Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign paid a technology company to infiltrate servers belonging to Trump Tower and the White House in order to fabricate a narrative connecting Donald Trump to Russia. So not a lot of this is going to be surprising to many of us who have kind of seen through this whole hoax and collusion story from the beginning. But this is the information, the latest information on it. And so Durham's filing focuses on potential conflicts of interest related to the representation of Michael Sussman, a former lawyer for the Clinton campaign. And he has been charged with making a false statement to a federal agent. He has pleaded not guilty. The indictment against Sussman alleges that he told then FBI General Counsel James Baker, less than 2 months before the 2016 presidential election, that he was not working for any client when he requested a meeting in which he provided the FBI with purported data and white papers that allegedly demonstrated a covert communications channel between the Trump Organization and the Kremlin-connected Alpha Bank. In a section of Durham's filing titled Factual Background, it's revealed that Sussman, quote, had assembled and conveyed the allegations to the FBI on behalf of at least two specific clients, including Chief Technology Executive Rodney Joff of U.S.-based internet company Neustar Information Services and the Clinton campaign, end quote. Durham's filing says Sussman's billing records reflect that he repeatedly billed the Clinton campaign for his work on the Russian bank allegations. So are you hearing everything that is happening? This guy has said that he was not working for any client when he went to the FBI with his information, but come to find out, he's actually he's got records, billing records that reflect that he was billing the Clinton campaign for his work on this. So as the Washington Free Beacon reports, quote, according to Durham, Neustar's chief technology officer Rodney Joff accessed sensitive web traffic data that the company maintained on behalf of the White House Executive Office in order to collect derogatory information about Donald Trump. Joff allegedly provided the information to Hillary Clinton campaign lawyer Michael Sussman, who in turn gave it to the CIA during a meeting in February 2017. Durham charged Sussman in September with lying to the FBI about his investigation of Trump. Furthermore, while the Clinton campaign was the first campaign to avail itself of Neustar services, it was not the last one to do so. Any guesses on maybe what other campaign utilized their services? Well, the Washington Free Beacon reported that Federal Election Commission records show that the Biden campaign paid nearly $20,000 to Neustar in 2020 for, quote, accounting and compliance work. And besides that, FEC records show there have only been two campaigns that have ever employed Neustar: the Biden and the Clinton campaigns. Durham also said in his court filing on Friday that his investigators found no support for the information Sussman gave the CIA. So, once again, as C. Mitchell Shaw pointed out in his article at the New American, the whole Russia collusion narrative is shown to be one lie wrapped in another and surrounded by even more lies piled upon one another. Untold millions of taxpayer dollars were wasted investigating bogus claims made by liars whose only aim is their own twisted political ambition. Congressional committees and hearings were held to, quote, get to the bottom of it all. And it turns out that right at the bottom of it all are Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. And you know what's infuriating? It didn't take millions of dollars in congressional hearings to determine that Hillary and old Joe were corrupt cheaters who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the White House or politics in general. It didn't take all of that. Everybody knew. It's been known for really decades that both of these two are corrupt and in the pocket of many of our foreign enemies. And with news such as this, it is not surprising that recent polls show that a majority of those who have followed these developments want to see the same thing that President Trump wants to see, who he came out and said there needs to be an investigation, obviously. And a lot of those in this polling said Hillary Clinton needs to be investigated. In fact, even a majority, 2/3 of Democrats who said they've been keeping up with the Neustar spying scandal think an investigation of Clinton's role is in order. But the Democrats polling right now is just tanking all across middle America. It's been the moderates are leaving in droves, and of course the libertarians or the independents, the independents and Republicans are, you know, they're just standing on the sidelines watching the Democrats, you know, put on their own concrete shoes, essentially. And on all of this, I mean, just with so many things that have just backfired on them in the last 2 to 3 years, really 3 years, but 2 years especially. And it's just, it's unsurprising. And it just, you know, one of the things that keeps popping up this week is the whole COVID narrative is, I mean, it's been unraveling for a while, and you're seeing Democrat after Democrat is trying to get on the off-ramp for the COVID narrative. I think it was North Carolina decided, hey, we're not going to do any of the masking anymore. You've got different places all across the country saying we're not doing mask. Washington, D.C. said we're doing away with the vaccine mandate, and I think the outdoor mask requirements, maybe they're still requiring them indoors. I can't remember because there's been a lot of different places that have been saying doing this. I think it was LA for sure that said, hey, we're going to get rid of our outdoor mask mandate, but indoors for sure. And kids still have to wear them, but nobody else, like all of this. So there's been different rulings all across the country just in the last week and a half to 2 weeks. And of course, a lot of that has to do with the Super Bowl and the fact that 70,000 people were there at the Super Bowl, and all of these celebrities that have been telling everybody else that they're just trash if they don't wear a mask were caught not wearing masks at the Super Bowl. And so a lot of that's just totally unraveling. And of course, and we've talked about this before, a lot of folks are like, well, you know, the science is changing. That's gaslighting. The science hasn't changed. The data is still the exact same as it ever was. It's just that the Democrats are tanking in the polls. They're tanking. They're tanking because of this. They're tanking because of the masks and the vaccines and all of this insanity. They're tanking because of the CRT stuff and what's going on in the schools. They're tanking with the Black Lives Matters and the trucker convoy. You know, people are realizing, hey, you know what? You guys funded and paid bail for these guys who burned down buildings and homes and cars with the Black Lives Matter riots. And then you're out here just condemning these truckers in Canada. Like, I mean, they're seeing some of this. The parents are seeing what's going on in their schools. And so the Democrats, and what was the other one? Defund the police. I mean, that has really not worked out in the Democrats' favor. And so, you know, all of this stuff that the Democrats have decided, hey, we got to get on the off ramp for the vaccines and the masks and COVID. We got to move on past this. We've got to find a way to not lose abysmally in the midterms. And so, bada bing, bada boom, the science has changed. The political science has changed. That's what's changed. So the last story that I want to talk about, speaking of COVID, is the U.S. military personnel saw a significant increase in cancers, neurological and reproductive issues, and numerous other conditions in 2021 compared to a 5-year average rate. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this, and then I want to talk about where this information's come from, why it's important, and what we're likely to see happen. Okay, so that information became known thanks to very brave Department of Defense whistleblowers Drs. Samuel Sigaloff, Peter Chambers, and Teresa Long, who represented by attorney Thomas Renz. Renz presented this bombshell information during a panel discussion titled COVID-19, A Second Opinion, in Washington, D.C. on January the 24th, 2022, that was hosted by Senator Ron Johnson. He's a Republican from Wisconsin. Now, Senator Johnson demands answers from the DOD on its awareness of the dramatically worsened health of the U.S. troops. So on February 1st, the senator sent a letter to DOD Secretary Lloyd Austin highlighting the dramatic rise in adverse events reported in the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, DMED, after the COVID vaccines were rolled out to the military. And based on data from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, DMED, whistleblowers found a significant increase in registered diagnoses on DMED for miscarriages, cancer, and many other medical conditions in 2021 compared to a 5-year average from 2016 to 2020. For example, registered diagnoses from neurological issues increased 10 times from a 5-year average of 82,000 to 863,000 in 2021. There were also increases in registered diagnoses in 2021 for the following medical conditions: hypertension, 2,181% increase. Diseases of the nervous system, 1,048% increase. Malignant neoplasms of esophagus, 894% increase. Multiple sclerosis, 680% increase. Malignant neoplasms of digestive organs, 624% increase. Breast cancer, 487% increase. Malignant neoplasms of thyroid and other endocrine glands, 474% increase. Female infertility, 472% increase. Pulmonary embolism, 468% increase. Migraines, 452% increase. Ovarian dysfunction, 437% increase. And testicular cancer, 369% increase. And there's some other things in there as well that I didn't mention because I know this a lot of numbers and percentages. Those numbers certainly don't seem like a minor fluctuation and should have caught the attention of the top brass. After all, they have been stressing the importance of the troops' health for military readiness for the whole of last year when they forced every single man and woman in uniform to take a, quote, life-saving COVID shot. Does this trend in rising serious diseases not endanger the nation's military readiness? Senator Johnson asked Secretary Austin to provide answers to the questions that he posed during the panel discussion by February 15th at the latest. As of yet, as far as I know, no answers have been provided, and I imagine if any are provided, they will be a total lie. So I want to talk about DMED, though, about the DMED. So this is the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. It's the official database of the de-identified medical records of all American servicemen. And according to its website, the database provides remote access to a subset of data contained within the Defense Medical Surveillance System, DMSS. DMSS, in turn, contains up-to-date and historical data on diseases and medical events, hospitalizations, ambulatory visits, reportable diseases, etc. and longitudinal data relevant to personnel's characteristics and deployments experience for all active and reserve component service members. Who can access that information? Because of the understandable sensitivity of the data, only authorized users. And that would be folks such as the U.S. military medical providers, safety officers or medical operations, clinical support staff, medical researchers, to name a few. But those who are, you know, surveying health conditions in the U.S. military can see it amongst those that I just mentioned. So Steve Kirsch, founder and executive director of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation, argued that the DMED appears to be very reliable. He explained, quote, DMED is not a self-reported database where reporting rates are unknown. It is a fully reported database where all the reports are from healthcare providers, end quote. In other words, unlike the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Reaction System, VAERS, that's routinely been dismissed over the course of COVID-19 as unreliable by the mainstream media and the United States health authorities themselves, DMED cannot be shrugged off. Every DMSS record that is later being reflected in DMED is entered into the database by a military doctor. So then DMED was fact-checked. Fact-checkers from PolitiFact reached out to the Department of Defense and were told that the numbers were based on faulty data. Peter Graves, the spokesperson for the Defense Health Agency's Armed Forces Surveillance Division, told PolitiFact by email, quote, in response to concerns mentioned in news reports, the division reviewed data in the DMED and found that the data was incorrect for the years 2016 through 2020. But, end quote, but it took Renz's Senate testimony on behalf of the DOD whistleblowers for the DOD to check on its database. And surprisingly, the department found that the historic medical data was apparently drastically underreported and represented only a small fraction of actual medical diagnoses. And I'll keep going before I comment. The 2021 numbers, however, were correct, Graves said. And remember, Graves is the spokesperson for the Defense Health Agency's Armed Forces Surveillance Division. That, he implied, explains the impression that the military saw a huge increase in serious health issues. So you see what is happening, how they're spinning this, is they're saying those 5 years, 2016, 2020, that time span, that data, the data that's there on that, that's incorrect. It was not updated correctly. 2021 is correct, but because of what came before it, it's not a accurate depiction of what's going on in 2021. But again, my question is, why did no one pick up on the fact that these numbers were so high? I mean, surely somebody saw these things. And it's like, hey, why are we having a, what was some of the numbers? You know, 680% increase in multiple sclerosis. Over 2,000% increase in hypertension from what we've seen before in these numbers. I mean, how come nobody at all thought any of this was odd in their databases until the Renz Senate testimony brought all this information forward? So DMED was taken offline to identify and correct the root cause of the data corruption. And the corrected numbers will likely show the 2021 diagnoses have actually decreased compared to the five-year average. And that's quoting Veronica Kirilenko over at the New American. According to Dr. Robert Malone, DMED has been included in the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data sets that it uses for vaccine safety technical work group to evaluate COVID vaccines post-marketing safety and efficacy. He wrote, quote, it makes it hard to believe that with all these agencies watching the same data, no one thought the historical data was incorrect until the whistleblowers sounded their alert, end quote. Exactly. Why did nobody looking at this data have any questions until it became public knowledge? That means that the CDC has been monitoring the military data for years and never identified data corruption as an issue before this point. What kind of answer, if any, will Senator Johnson receive? One may speculate that the DOD will give the senator revised data that would show that the American servicemen have never been as healthy. In fact, in my opinion, the vaccines have literally transformed them into demigods with nary an illness to be found. That's probably what they're going to tell you. Because they're liars. And I know people don't like to hear that. They don't like to, they say, well, you know, you're using fighting words. No, I'm stating the truth. They're lying to you. And I'm not saying, maybe what they're trying to tell us that, you know what, the data set from those 4 or 5 years is wrong. Maybe that's right. But you know what? I want to have some pretty gosh darn good evidence that it had not been updated correctly. Because a lot of these numbers that I have seen, there's a lot of doctors out there who are agreeing with it, with their own patients, with their own cancer patients. I listened to a doctor this week who's doing an interview, and he, an oncologist, talking about his cancer patients and patients who've been in remission, suddenly having an influx of cancer, coming back. Patients who seem to be overcoming, get the shot, bam. They have a worst case. And so there's all these questions that are going around. I got personal friends who have had issues with their menstrual cycles. Multiple personal friends. So when they come back with their data that says, oh no, you know, there's not been any kind of increase whatsoever, well, I'm going to know that that's at least a lie. Because there has been some sort of increase. Now, if it's these kinds of numbers, I don't know yet. But I know that it's going to take a lot of evidence for me to trust them, because they burned that bridge a long time ago, to be completely honest. And I don't, you know, bring all of this out. And I say this again, I know it feels like I attack the vaccines and attack all of these people. And I don't want you to think that. I just want you to have the truth. I want you to be able to make informed decisions regarding your health and your family. And, you know, you've just been lied to over and over and over again about how bad COVID is, so that you're terrified out of your mind and you're willing to take a vaccine and do other things like lockdowns and wear masks that are detrimental for your health, but you think it's the better choice because you've been told a lie about COVID-19. Which is a bad disease. It's a bad virus. It's a bad virus that was cooked up in a Chinese lab and let out. Okay? It is a bad virus. But the majority of folks would have been just fine if the Zelenko protocol had been widely embraced and that information spread far and wide within just the first couple of months of COVID-19. Hitting the U.S. shores. The majority of folks would have been fine. And they're saying now that some of the data, that the percentage of lives that could have been saved. I listened to an interview with Dr. Zelenko just this week, and it makes you so angry, because he's looking at, you know, all of the data, the hundreds and literally hundreds of thousands of lives. I think his number was 75 or 80% of the folks who passed. Their lives could have been saved. And so you've just been lied to over and over and over again regarding all of these things. And we cannot move forward until the truth has been brought out, the lies exposed. I mean, it's just like what happens with Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. People have known in the back of their mind that they're corrupt for decades. But because we never take them to court and bring all of the corruption out and pursue it all the way down to the last penny of corrupt money, It's just this niggling things, and it never gets dealt with. It never gets dealt with. The poison and the infection never gets completely drained, and it just sits there and festers and festers, and then every now and then we do a little bit of something for it. And it gets a little better for a while, or Hillary Clinton is out of the picture for a little while. But it's still there, still simmering, still getting a little bit worse at a time, until all of a sudden, bam, they're back on the scene again. And this COVID stuff is the exact same kind of thing. If we do not get to the bottom of all of this and see the truth and force these organizations, these politicians, the scientists, the lot of them, and put our fingers on the ones that have lied to us and been dishonest and did it for their own political gain, we'll never know who to trust. And that is a detrimental place for our country to be at. So we have to keep pursuing this stuff and finding out who the liars are, who was telling the truth all along. And then we got to get the liars out, because we can't function like this.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.